Okay, so over the last few weeks, I have revisited again Jacob Boehme's works. I have many of the books of Jacob Boehme, and I was primarily focused on 40 Questions of the Soul, especially question one. Okay. But as I was going through question one again, in creating digital content, as I pulled in the essence of Jacob Boehme, I continued to have the thoughts and images of backing up a little bit and revisiting Mysterium Magnum. So, volume one and volume two of Mysterium Magnum. The works are very dense, but it actually explains into more detail of what question one in 40 Questions of the Soul summarizes very lengthily, but at the same time, highly suggest to revisit the works of Mysterium Magnum if the reader hasn't done so already. And so I'll probably be working and or revisiting both works at the same time, but I didn't do this in the past. I focused on one and then moved to the other. Now, today, we're just going to read the preface because as I was going through the first few chapters of the works of Mysterium Magnum, I know most readers skip over the preface or about the author and but there's some gems and some key points made in the author's preface, which I'm going to read because I think it's important to know what Jacob Boehme's intent is, as he is a was a very transparent individual, so that life could flow through him and manifest the works that he created while in form. When we consider the visible world with its essence and consider the life of the creatures, then we find therein the likeness of the invisible spiritual world, which is hidden in the visible world. As the soul and the body, and see thereby that the hidden God is nigh unto all and through all, and yet wholly hidden in the visible essence. So I really should have had Key Zero, the Fool. Me on that slide, because the cloak that the fool is wearing, it's a cloak of ignorance, but at the same time, there are symbols that are on the cloak of ignorance demonstrated that the fool is supported by the universe, by the cosmos. Okay, the fool is super consciousness, but cloaked with ignorance. Okay, it's a good symbol to remind us that, yeah, we forget of the divine when we experience life as a manifested form or the human. But eventually, if we come to remember that the invisible spiritual world, which is hidden in the visible world, just as the soul and the body, then as we read on, Jacob Boehme will talk about how divine grace will align within us, and then we will have the remembrance and knowing, which I consider going within to the point of eternal liberty. Okay. We have an example hereof in the mind of man, which is an invisible fire that is inclined to light and darkness, to joy and sorrow, and yet in itself is none of these, but only. See, making sure I'm recording. Do this every time. But only a cause thereto, an invisible, incomprehensive, sourcive fire, and yet as to its own essence, is included in nothing, save only in the will of life. Okay, the will of life. Now, the will of life goes back prior to the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, there's the desire from the eternal. The body cannot comprehend the mind, but the mind comprehends the body and brings it to love or dislike. This, likewise, is to be understood of the word and power of God, which is hidden to the visible, sensible elements, and yet dwelleth through and in the elements, and worketh through the sensible life and essence as the mind in the body. Okay, so the mind actually is sort of like the controller of the body, the orchestrator, right? Keeps it. Whereas the body itself is delegated by its appointed functions. A good example is the liver doesn't quite communicate with the kidney with the same language because they operate, have their own operations, but they work together. And the mind ensures that which understands the body, that everything is working accordingly. It's actually a really good example. And that's why the mind-body-spirit complex, when it's in balance, then we are more in line in order to see I don't want to say, I don't, let me see. We'll be able to comprehend the grace of God. But first, we have to quiet the mind and allow the grace of God to flow through us in order for us to take notice. Life, the will of life. For the visible, sensible things are an essence of the invisible, from the invisible and incomprehensible, the visible and comprehensible is preceded. Now that's sort of a confusing statement, but at the same time, it's just saying that the invisible causes the visible to be seen and noticed. The visible essence is come to be from the expression of spiration of the invisible power, the invisible spiritual word of divine power worketh with and through the visible essence as the soul with and through the body. All right, the invisible spiritual word. So the word is from the eternal, which created the model through sound, okay, in order for there to be manifestation. So this is prior to Alpha and Omega. The inward spiritual soul of man was breathed into the visible image by the inspeaking or inspiration of the invisible word of the divine power for an understanding to the created image, wherein man's science and knowledge of the invisible and visible essence consisteth. Thus, man hath now received ability from the invisible word of God to the re-expression that he again expresseth the hidden word of the divine science into formation and severation in manner and form of the temporal creatures, and formeth the spiritual word according to animals and vegetables, whereby the invisible wisdom of God is portrayed and modelized into several distinct forms, as we plainly see that the understanding of man expresseth all powers in their property and giveth names unto all things. Stop there for a minute. So here we are using our images of God and sort of playing God on earth, right? Because the wisdom of God modelized the forms, and then we persons express all powers and their property and create labels as a collective, which we use to come to recognize the unity of everything. Right. I got this image at the top out of this book called The Power of Limits. And this book actually is very systematic and precise when it comes to the measurements of things of which we have labeled and all the powers and the properties of these things. So this image actually shows where the eternal has created a model, and yet the Alpha in the Omega is orchestrating and allowing the expression of these powers to play. Okay. So according to each thing's property, by which the hidden wisdom is known and understood in its power, and the hidden God is made manifest with the visible things for the delight and play of the divine power, so that the invisible might play with the visible and therein introduce itself into the sight and sense of itself. Okay? Eventually, we all will come to realize and see what Jacob Boehme calls the eternal liberty, And that's when the hidden God within us is revealed. But going back to Key Zero, the Fool, we will have to align ourselves with the strong intent and strong desire to remove the cloak of ignorance for when we are ready. As the mind do introduce itself with the body and by the body into senses and thoughts, thereby it worketh and acteth sensibly to itself, so also the invisible world worketh through the visible. And with the visible world, we are not in any wise to think that a man cannot search out what the hidden divine world is and what its operation and essence is. For on the visible essence of the creation, we see a figure of the internal spiritual operation of the powerful world. In other words, we seek understanding. We go within and attempt to discover the invisible world, which will reveal itself with our inner sight, but also be reflected within the visible world. So our outer world will match our inner world. And that's when we begin to see beauty in all things. And we ought not to think otherwise of God, but that He is the most internal ground of all essences. And yet, so as that He cannot be comprehended of anything by the own peculiar power of the thing, but as the sun do introduce itself with its light and power into the sensible living things, and work with or in all things, and introduce itself also into an essence, the same likewise is to be understood concerning the divine word with the life of the creatures. Seeing then this visible world is the expressed formed world, excuse me, formed word, according to God's love and anger, according to the grand mystery of the eternal spiritual nature, which spiritual world is hidden in the visible. And yet the human soul is a spark out of the eternal speaking word of the divine science and power, and the body an entity of the stars and elements, and also as to the internal ground, an entity of heaven, of the hidden world. Therefore, he hath might and ability to speak of the grand master whence all essences do originally arise. So it's interesting how we, on the surface level or the personality level, we have separated love and anger, right? The feeling, the frequency, the vibration that love and anger both carry are very distinct, are very obvious. And so when we mention God's love and anger, it's totally different than the way we perceive it or taught in a way of human psychology. Now, love and anger, God's anger refers to the magnetism that is created where the eternal will the eternal goes in on itself without light, but it creates the attraction in order to attract the light within the harshness. So the best visual that nature gives us is, of course, a black hole within the universe. But at the same time, we need to realize that these outer visuals, which science is attempting and also bridging the spiritual side of what I'm mentioning when it comes to electromagnetism, that without anger, then the model would not have been created by the eternal in order for the eternal to actually explore itself. So the ground had to be created and it turned in on itself, which we could call like anger towards self in a self-centered way, which will be expressed towards others. But God's love and anger, according to the grand mystery, is very difficult for the rational mind to try to explain. It's more of an inner vision and an inner experience. So Jacob Boehme does a great job channeling this information through him into his works. Can be very difficult to try to speak it out loud, and that's why a lot of times silence and going within can be the best way to experience what we're talking about here. But I have a hard time being silent because I actually enjoy speaking it out loud so I can hear myself. And also create the digital content, which is the visual reflecting back to my subconscious. And it shows and demonstrates to myself how strong my desire is in order to go deeper within to reach that eternal liberty, right? The grand mystery. That's the whole reason why I create digital content. Since then, the great mysteries, the beginning of and original of all things, do befall us by divine grace, that we are all able, as through the ground of the soul, to understand the same in real knowledge. With the inspired word of the divine science, we will write down its ground, so far as it is permitted to us in this book, for a memorial to ourself and for the exercise of divine knowledge to the reader. I like how Jacob Boehme is allowing and explaining how divine grace is available to all of us. And at this point in Jacob Boehme's expression, he's able to deliver these works so that we, right, we're all one, we eventually can use these works as a teacher because the divine knowledge to the reader is capitalized. In other words, as we are exploring ourselves, we're basically reflecting back to the eternal which the internal is exploring the eternal, is exploring itself. Okay, through the models. Jacob Boehme said, a memorial, capital M, to ourself and for the exercise of divine knowledge to the reader. Okay, so the preface is important because of these questions. And this is the intent of Jacob Boehme and the written word of the first book of Moses called Genesis, and what this book contains, and what we will explore within ourselves. We will signify and declare what the center and ground of all essences is, what the divine manifestation through the speaking of the word of God is, how evil and good have their original form, original from, hang on. Yeah. How evil and good have their original from one only ground, such as light and darkness, life and death, joy and sorrow, and how it is in its ground also whereunto every essence and source is profitable and necessary. So light and darkness, life and death are the same. These are just different expressions, and also we explore across the spectrum what we could call life and death. And we experience it every day. We experience the limits of life and the limits of death while in manifestation and while life flows through us. Okay. How all things have their ground from the grand mystery, from the spiration of the eternal one. Okay, that's the Alpha and the Omega. How the eternal one introduced itself into sensation, perception, and severation to the science of itself. And the play of the divine power. We are the images of the Eternal One. We are the models within the Omega. How man may attain to the true knowledge of God and to the knowledge of the eternal and temporal nature. Now, the eternal and what we would call God, within the eternal is God, or what we would consider God. Okay. And the model that we have in 40 Questions of Soul, the letter T within the Alpha and Omega. Okay. So there's the eternal liberty, which comes from the nothing, the stillness, and then the eternal explores the eternal and creates the Alpha and Omega. And the Alpha is within the Omega, and that's how the world was created, or we could say the cosmos, within limits, so that the models may, as number five says, play of the divine power. And the temporal nature, that's when we have even more limitations within manifestation. We could look at the four elements of fire, water, air, and earth, and which cloaks our spark so that we are actually playing within the elements until we're done playing. And then we go back to our consciousness will leave our body and return back to, we could say source or God. Many layers, but essentially we're with Jacob Boehme's works, we're attempting to take our consciousness all the way back before there was our mind and our mind, the concept of our mind, to the original cause, the original creation within the eternal. And that's actually way more powerful than chasing UFOs and aliens, which I'm not saying that the universe is not exciting at all, because it is. And we can sometimes be caught up in the glamour of things, the sparkle, but to have true understanding of universal principles while we have our right place and right time and right form here on Earth, we can use our time wisely, which helps the collective of humanity and also creates the corresponding effect through all of life. So the deeper we go within, the more impactful and powerful and more divine grace will flow through us, the more light life is flowing through us as it is, and we're supported. That's why we can see each other in the reflective process. But a lot of times, what appears as duality is the cloak of ignorance that's playing out. So, which is fine. It's what makes life fun and exciting. But eventually, we all remember, we all wake up. Number seven, how man may come unto the real contemplation of the being of all beings, of the creation, number eight, of the creation of the world and of all creatures. Nine, the original fall and restoration of man, what he is according to the first Adamical man in the kingdom of nature, and what he is in the new regeneration in the kingdom of grace, and how the new birth comes to pass. 10. What the Old and New Testaments are, each in its understanding. All right. So those questions summarize the aim and focus Jacob Boehme has within the works of Mysterium Magnum. And we will enlarge this exposition through all the chapters of the first book of Moses and signify how the Old Testament is a figure of the new, what is to be understood by the deeds of the holy patriarchs. Wherefore, the Spirit of God did give them to be set down in Moses, and at what the figures of these written histories do look and aim, and how the Spirit of God and his children, before the times of Christ, did allude with them in the figure concerning the kingdom of Christ, whereby then God have always represented this mercy seat, or throne of grace, Christ, by whom he would blot out his anger and manifest his grace. When the Spirit of God is acknowledged and has the ease and flowing through our vessel, blot out his anger is another way of saying that within the principles of the cosmos, the harshness, the harshness of the ground will be the transparency will actually allow us to remove the darkness from within because we're shining light through the darkness. It's not remove, it's this becomes very difficult to talk about, but to implement the spirit of God within us, which we could say with the intention from our heart and have the strong desire, our desire, which aligns with the vibration of the word and the strong desire, the desire that created the Alpha and Omega, then the Spirit of God will have that thin bandwidth flow through us in order for the manifestation of His grace. So grace is the strongest vibration that I can perceive within the human form. Okay. Within this dense plane that we're experiencing. Of course, there's love, but grace itself is that purity that will flow through us. Oh, that was difficult to actually try to talk about. To try the rational mind trying to explain the spirit of God. The unconscious mind, the unconscious, the unknown, that's where it becomes difficult. Because again, anger, God's anger is misunderstood in so many ways. Even I still have difficult mentioning it, even though I have my own mental images that can perceive his anger and how the models came about within the anger of God, it's still difficult to explain. All right. And how the whole time of this world is portrayed and modelized as in a watchwork. How afterwards it should go in time, and what the inward spiritual world and also the outward material world is, also what the inward spiritual man and then the external man of the essence of this world is, how time and eternity are in one another, and how a man may understand all this. So we all eventually will come to know as images of God that we are watching ourself. We are attempting to expand our light, to expand our awareness, just as the eternal. So there's a lot of what we would perceive as darkness, and here we are working together as a collective in order to create higher understandings. And the same applies to the Creator. Now, if it should so fall out that when these our writings are read, the reader might not presently apprehend and understand. Yeah, even I still, it's very obvious that as the reader of these, it's very difficult to understand these deep, dense writings and works of Jacob Boehme. But let's keep reading. Presently apprehend and understand the same with same, seeing this ground, which yet have its full foundation and pregnant concordance. So that the full foundation and pregnant concordance, that's where the eternal turns on its or goes within itself, okay, and impregnates itself. We talk about this in 40 Questions of the Soul, the first question. As well with the scripture as through the light of nature, have for a long time been very dark, and yet by divine grace is given to plain simplicity. Eventually, these deep and to see the full foundation needs divine grace. So eventually, when divine grace is aligned within our heart, then a lot of the concepts that our mind has a hard time trying to conceptualize, well, then the Spirit of God and divine grace will, we will receive these understandings. And in other words, it becomes simple to understand. Again, we're watching ourselves. Let him not despise and reject the same according to the course and custom of the wicked world, but look upon the ground of practice, which is therein intimated, and give himself thereunto, and pray God for light and understanding. And at last, he will rightly understand our ground, and it will find very great love and acceptance within him. Yeah, pray for understanding. Ask for light and understanding. And eventually it will unfold within us. The space will be created and the light will enter that space. Now, we are in a sense programmed to a certain way through our own ignorance, that we don't allow that space. And that's, in other words, that's our will, not God's will. So we have to create that space within us. And we can do that by asking for assistance and guidance. Pray to God for, pray to ourselves and ask for light and understanding. And I say ourselves, we have. We definitely have guidance in all moments. So it's really us that we're praying to in order to eventually flow through and reach that eternal liberty ground and have that understanding. So we have to align with ourselves, align with our higher self, our higher mind. Okay, but we have written nothing for the proud and haughty wiselings who know enough already, and yet indeed know nothing at all, whose belly is their God, who only adhere unto the beast of the Babylonical whore and drink of her poison, and willfully will, wilfully, will be in blindness. And the devil's snare. But we have laid, with the spirit of our knowledge, a strong bolt before the understanding of folly, not to apprehend our meaning, seeing they willfully and willingly serve Satan and are not the children of God. But we desire to be clearly and fundamentally understood by the children of God, and do heartily and readily communicate our knowledge given to us of God, seeing the time of such revelation is born. Therefore, let everyone see and take heed what sentence and censure he passeth. Everyone shall accordingly receive his reward. And we commend him into the grace of the meek and tender love of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so key 15. It's us when we have our cloak of ignorance on, and we are actually intentionally walking through the dark and hold ourselves in bondage. Now, this allows us to experience all the sorrow, pain, the lower and more stronger and powerful emotional expressions, such as anger and even fear, which and guilt and denial. A lot of the this is very much needed in order for us to sort of carve out that space within us in order for the light to enter. Now, how far we take ourselves into the darkness will determine the depth that we can reach. So it's interesting to know that with the chalice, the cup, we can carve our cup. We could carve our chalice to be short and small, like a shot glass, or we can actually explore the depths of the darkness within us and create a large chalice which can hold more water, which is nothing more than liquid light. Okay, and that's when the divine grace will pour in after we have decided to no longer explore the darkness within ourselves. Okay. So, as we can see, the two human figures in Key 15, they've had themselves in a position where they're in bondage on a half cube, which means half truth, and the devil is man-made. We create the fear through our own self-interest, and we explore our darkness, which is nothing more than a model of how the Creator explored the darkness. Okay. But eventually we reach a point where we take the chains off. They're very loose around their necks. All they have to do is reach up and take the chains off. And then, with the surrender and freedom of returning to God, then we can see in Key 21, we become the world dancer. And it's a very bright, exciting, loving card, tarot card, because with the world dancer, it's sort of like we reached attainment. There's the reward of divine grace, and our chalice is full of light. Okay. She's holding, well, it's not a she or a he, but we can say that the rods that are being held illustrate that the universal principles, and there's the understanding, the remembrance, And now we celebrate life as life flows through us. Now, life is flowing through us also on key 15, but we have to build that foundation within ourselves in order to return while we're manifested to the knowing in order for our light to shine through us. Okay, so there's a 32 pass of wisdom on the tree of life. Let's see. This is the last slide. Okay, so we actually fall to Malkuth, Earth, and then we travel back. We could say, even though key 15's up here, I'm just trying to simplify the tree of life. Within life, we fall to Earth, and then we, with our consciousness, we travel back to where we come from, with the understandings and the wisdom of all of creation and life. All right. That'll be all for today. And so in the first chapter, it'll be more of, yeah, the preface was, I think, re required to a degree because needed to know what Jacob Boehme put within the expectations of this book. Now, I use the word expectation loosely, but the desire for us to continue reading this book. And he's laid out the format of how we can and when we can actually have the understanding of these works.